Hi everyone, I'm Amber Rose, the religious hippie, and welcome to A Catholic's Perspective. For those of you just finding this podcast, let me tell you a little about myself. I was born and raised a cradle Catholic until I fell away from the church for 8 years. I just recently came back to the church, and I could not be happier with where I am today. I am currently a junior in college, and I'm studying graphic design. I am an ambassador for multiple amazing Catholic Christian companies, and I love working with all of them. Now, some of you may already know me from my popular religious hippie social media channels, such as TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I have all kinds of Catholic content on there, so don't forget to go check those out. So the reason I wanted to start a podcast was so that I'd be able to have a longer format which people could listen to from wherever they are. I particularly wanted to address issues that young Catholics face today in the secular world, and I want to do that by providing information along with commentary and even a little of my own opinion. I can't lie, from time to time I might be discussing very controversial issues, and some will find my opinions unappealing. But I do this out of my faith and service to God. We must keep communicating with each other, respecting each other, and put each other on the path to sainthood. I think you'll enjoy the podcasts coming up, and I thank you for being here with me. Hey everybody, welcome back to my podcast. I know most of you have read the title and the women are probably really excited about this episode. I also wanted to just shout out to the men to stick around. I know this might not be the most manliest episode we've done, but I think it'll help you better understand women in some sense. So with that being said, I have Savannah Dudzik on with me today. Hey Savannah, thanks for being here.
Hey Amber, thank you so much for having me.
Of course, you guys might recognize Savannah from my pro-life podcast and YouTube videos. She is a communications assistant for Illinois Right to Life and a crisis pregnancy counselor for Let Them Live. So today we're discussing femininity. Are you excited?
Yes, I'm so excited to talk to you about this, Amber. This is a topic that I'm very passionate about, and I don't think it's spoken about enough.
I completely agree. And since you are heavily involved in the pro-life movement, I know you are constantly around women and also men, but specifically the women's side of things, I think is really important in today's culture because it's so twisted and kind of manipulated these days. You know, women are seen as objects or, you know, money, and we see lots of issues in sex trafficking and things of that nature. And it's not to say that men can't be sex trafficked and all those things as well, but we see it primarily in the woman's side of the situation. So what are your thoughts on feminism in general?
So feminism is a very broad topic. And I think one of the reasons I wanted to do this episode with you, Amber, is because actually my friend Stella and I, we wrote a blog recently on this because for a couple of years, I kind of avoided the topic. I didn't really want to talk about it. It's a very controversial topic. I wasn't really sure of my opinion. But once I started looking more into it, and everybody's talking about being a pro-life feminist, you know, what does that mean? Can we be a pro-life feminist? I realized that it's not as simple as just being feminist or not being feminist. There's actually three waves of feminism that have occurred throughout history. So I think it's important to make the distinction on what kind of a feminist you are, and maybe we can talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, of course. I know for a fact a lot of people are confused on what femininity is, because for people like us, we were raised with feminine attributes. I mean, like our parents would make us wear modest dresses and the makeup we would wear would be minimal. So modesty was really pushed in my household, especially by my dad, because I think that's the most effective way to have, you know, men and, you know, or boys and girls dress modestly, as if their dad and their mom show examples of that. But for other people who were raised more worldly, maybe without parents who, were religious, they might have been told that, like, oh, modesty is for pricks or prudes, and like, if you really loved your body, you would show it off, etc.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much that goes into that, that's for sure. But I think starting with femininity, I think, and I don't know if you would agree or not, but I think being feminine is kind of looked down on these days. You know, if you're a girl, you're encouraged to be, you know, I don't know. You're not encouraged to be masculine, but you're not really encouraged to be feminine. And I didn't really want to be feminine, you know, in my high school years and my college years. I just kind of thought subconsciously, oh, that's feminine. Oh, I probably don't really want that. You know, I don't want to be extra feminine. But if you really look at the broader picture, if we're Catholics, if we're trying to be holy, who's the example of femininity? It's Mary. You know, Mary is our example, and she was so feminine. So I guess feminine, when you think about the word feminine, what comes to mind for me, you know, is, you know, a woman being graceful, being modest, being obedient, and those words didn't really appeal to me in my teenage years. I didn't really want to be graceful. I didn't really care about being modest, and I definitely didn't want to really be obedient to anyone. So I think that if you look at it a little further, though, it comes down to the people we admire. So who are the role models for girls these days? Is it Mary? Is it Mary, the mother of God? Or is it, you know,
Ariana Grande?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I think we can all agree that a lot of the celebrities aren't feminine and do not advocate for being feminine. But the fact is, as women, we have something that men don't have. So why wouldn't we want to highlight that? You know, we shouldn't be ashamed of the fact that we can get pregnant, we can have babies. We shouldn't be ashamed of that fact. That's something that's unique to being a woman. We shouldn't be ashamed of the fact that we women inherently want to make things more beautiful. We want to serve others. We want to help others. We have a maternal want that men don't have. We shouldn't be ashamed of that. And so in the past year, you know, I think it's really helped me to look at who I admire, look at who I look up to, and then evaluate, why do I look up to them, you know? And I kind of found that the people I look up to now more are definitely more feminine.
No, I completely agree. And I do think that the people we surround ourselves with, we watch the most, really has an impact on how we view ourselves and how we view our own bodies. Actually, I wasn't thinking about this until you said that, like, women have a specific and beautiful gift of being able to bring a human being into the world. And this is a quote from Venerable Joseph Cardinal Medzi. I'm always going to pronounce his last name wrong, but it's M-I-N-D-S-Z-N-T-Y. And it goes like this. It says, "The most important person on earth is a mother. She cannot claim the honor of having built Notre Dame Cathedral. She need not. She has built something more magnificent than any cathedral, a dwelling for an immortal soul. The tiny perfection of her baby's body, the angels have not been blessed with such a grace. They cannot share in God's creative miracle to bring new saints to heaven. Only a human mother can. Mothers are closer to God, the creator, than any other creature. God joins forces with mothers in performing this act of creation. What on God's good earth is more glorious than this, to be a mother?" And I think that's beautiful, you know, because it really encompasses Our Lady too.
Oh, that's beautiful. And I think, yeah, I think that's beautiful. And I think that, you know, it's kind of obvious, and it's, I think mothers are often taken for granted, but I think that more than ever, we need to highlight the fact that being feminine is not something we should be ashamed of, because not everyone can be feminine, you know, not everyone should be feminine.
Right. And I think, you know, that also reminds me, I don't know if you know Alice von Hildebrand, she's an author. Yeah. Right. And there's this quote from her, and I think it totally sums up what we're trying to explain here. It says, "Women let themselves become convinced that femininity means weakness. They start to look down upon virtues such as patience, selflessness, self-giving, tenderness, and aimed at being like men in all things. Each sex has its strength. Each sex has its weakness. According to God's admirable plan, the husband is to help with his wife overcome these weaknesses so that all the treasures of her femininity will come to full bloom, and vice versa. How many men truly become themselves thanks to the love of their wives? How many wives be transformed by their husband's strength and courage?"
Wow. Yeah, that says a lot.
And that's the thing. It's like, I feel like so many girls these days are being pushed down, you know, in their femininity, because like you said, celebrities are not pushing for true feminism. Our really only examples we have these days of true feminism is Our Lady and the saints.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But I don't agree with that though, in a way, because I do, I mean, I get what you're saying, but I think that we do. I think that more and more women are starting to show their true femininity. And what you were saying before about true feminism, maybe we can talk a little bit about that, about the origins of feminism. I don't know if you have anything to say about that, or if you want me to talk a little bit about it.
I feel like you would be a better subject to talking about that, for sure.
Well, so just very simply. So recently, as I said before, one of my friends and I wrote a blog. You can find it at, well, actually we'll just put the link in the comments because it's kind of a long link. But anyway, it is called, let me look real quick. It's called Feminine or Feminist, Are the Two Incompatible? And when I was writing this blog with her, we were researching the three waves of feminism. So basically, to sum it all up, the first wave of feminism, the first feminists included Susan B. Anthony and others. And these women were very pro-life. There's quotes that they were pro-life. And basically all they wanted were voting rights. They wanted to have rights to their children, you know, in case their husband became abusive, they wanted custody of their children and the right to own property. So this was the first wave of feminism. You know, these were women that actually spoke out against abortion. They thought abortion was exploitation of women. All they wanted was to have equal rights. This is what feminism advocates for, right? Equal rights. That's what first wave feminism actually did. So then we come around to the second wave of feminism, which is kind of called women's liberation. So this is when feminism started to get a little clouded by pro-choice ideals. So until this time, feminism was solely about ensuring equal rights for women. But when feminism morphed into kind of women's liberation and Betty Friedan's 1983 publication of The Feminine Mystique, which is a book where basically there's a ton of pro-life and anti-women ideologies, she kind of, her along with a lot of other people, kind of clouded this feminism. They established NARAL, which is, it's basically the National Association for the Repeal of Abortion Laws, now known as NARAL Pro-Choice America. So basically within a century, feminism turned from being pro-life to very much clouded by pro-choice ideals. And there's a lot more to it, but anyway, it kept morphing. And now we see this horrible feminism of today, you know, of radical feminists.
Yeah, I've heard that there's also like this fourth wave of feminism, like the Me Too movement and that type of thing.
Yeah, I guess you could call it that.
I guess that one's still in the making though, because it's like kind of becoming a wave, but it's not official yet because more things need to happen first. But isn't that crazy how literally in a century, like it just got so clouded and morphed into something that's so anti-woman?
Yeah, no, it's crazy. And it's sad because I've always called myself a pro-life feminist. You know, I think more than a lot of people I know, I'm very much for, you know, women can do whatever we want to in some capacity. But
right.
And I think that calling myself a pro-life feminist is good, but it can be tricky because words mean things, you know, and nowadays, the word feminism, when you hear it, you think of these radical pro-choicers. So we have to be very careful to clarify. No, we're with the first wave feminism. We're with the initial feminism who wanted equal rights for women.
Right. And that can be so tricky nowadays, especially since so many words have been warped and confused.
Right.
So there's this whole confusion now where, like you said, words mean things. So if you say something, but you don't give enough context, well, people are going to assume you're either this or that. There's so many, I guess the right word I'm looking for, like, not titles. You know what I'm talking about though. Like they label you, you know?
Yes.
There's a lot of labels nowadays and you don't want to be labeled as the wrong thing, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I guess when it comes down to it, can Christian women be feminists?
And so, yeah, so I would say that the answer to that is yes. I think and so many people would disagree with me. I think we can be feminists. I think we can be what feminism was initially made to be, which is women should have equal rights. Women should have rights to their children. Women's should be, you know, protected. Women inside of the womb should be protected. That's a big thing, you know? If you're a feminist, if you're for women and you're saying that women inside of the womb can be killed, if you're for sex selective abortion, that's not really being for all women. So I think that it's important to make the distinction, but Christian women can be feminist.
Right. And I think it's also important to mention that first wave feminism wasn't selfish. It wasn't just for women. Exactly. It was also to help the men and impact the men in a positive way and to view the women how women should be viewed. So in reality, it kind of was a cycle of positivity until, you know, the pro-choice ideas started kind of infiltrating it.
No, and there's a lot more, there's also a lot more complications to it. Like there's been, I've heard a lot about how the Seneca Falls Conference, which is one of the first feminist conferences, was like invaded by these men who actually wanted their abortion ideals pushed. There's a whole lot, but the main point of it is, if you're going to be a feminist, if you're going to be a pro-life feminist, then clarify what you mean. But I think that if we just abandon the word feminism, I think we need to take back feminism. You know what I mean? I think that we don't just abandon it and say, oh, that's just those crazy pro-choicers. I think we say, actually, no, I'm a feminist and this is what I believe.
Right. Because it's important, because feminism comes from Our Lady, like, you know, and things. Yes. And well, yes. You know, and so it's important that we understand where our feminism comes from and that we embrace it in the proper sense. That's not disordered, because the world tries to disorder everything God created. And so why not try and disorder feminism as well? And personally, I'm gonna be honest, in my own experience, I've been raised a tomboy.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't like dresses. Maybe once a month I enjoyed dresses as a child, you know, but otherwise I would kick and scream and I refused to wear a dress because I couldn't run in them. I couldn't get muddy in them. It was really hard to be a tomboy in a dress. As I got older, I basically just wore jeans and t-shirts and sweatshirts, basically what I'm wearing now. But then when I started coming back into my faith more and I started appreciating my feminine side more and realizing like, wow, I have a gift nobody else has but that is unique. Like women have such unique gifts, and to just completely, I guess, push it aside and ignore it would be a disservice to God and his creation.
Yeah, no, exactly. And there's been studies, Jason Evert, I don't know if you've ever heard of Jason Evert, but he wrote a book that I absolutely love. It's called How to Date Your Soulmate Without Losing Your Soul. And in this book, he talked about these studies where men are, they're more polite, they're more kind, they treat women better when they're dressed modestly. And this is into the topic of modesty, this is not to say that men at all have a right to look at women with impure thoughts if we're dressed immodestly. What it is to say is that if we want strong men, if we want men to rise to the challenge, if we want men to actually be men, we need to also be women. You know, it's very important that it goes both ways. And I think that's something that is kind of pushed aside sometimes in our culture, or just not equalized. You know, it's either one way or the other. It's either the woman's like, well, I don't care, I can dress however I want to. Or right. The man's like, oh, but the women should be dressing modestly and I can do whatever I want to the woman if she's not dressed modestly.
Yeah, it's a very interesting parallel we have going on these days. And it brings me back to a talk that Father Ripperger did. If you know Father Ripperger, he's a Catholic exorcist. Yeah. Absolutely love him. And he basically said that women have some of the issues we have today, obviously, because Eve stepped out from underneath the headship of her husband. And because it's God, then the husband, then the wife, obviously, you know, because the husband is the first line of defense against Satan in the home. when Eve stepped out from underneath of that headship and decided to, even though she knew she shouldn't, follow the serpent and eat, she created disobedience. And so from that, women have this tendency to want to be above their husbands. And I see it constantly in today's world, in my friends' marriages, in just constantly, I just see the women constantly wanting to overpower the men because they're like, I know what's best. I know what's doing right. And then there's the other side of it where the men are trying to just be, you know, overpowering the women. It's like, how do we regain that balance? Well, like you said, women be women, men be men.
Yeah, that's interesting. I definitely know who Father Ripperger is. I don't know if I've listened to that particular talk, but that's very interesting. And I guess as neither of us are married, we don't know firsthand
exactly
what that's like. But I think it also could be related to God. You know, I think that we know in our hearts as women when we're dressed modestly and when we're not, you know. Mm-hmm. I think we really do. I think most of us, not everyone, but I think a lot of us just kind of, it's ingrained in us.
We feel and conviction.
We know when we're wearing something that we're like, oh, probably shouldn't be wearing this. And I'm not going to lie. I've done that before. And I've just been like, oh, I don't really care. It's fine.
Yeah, me too. It's kind of like shoving your conscience down and mm-hmm, conviction, mm-hmm. like whatever, convict me later. Like,
yeah, but you know, what really helped me actually, and this, you know, might help other girls too, is kind of as you were saying before, Amber, you know, to just kind of realize that it's women are beautiful. Like all women are beautiful. We have something that men don't. We have the ability to, you know, enthrall men in ways that obviously men can't enthrall yeah. themselves or whatever. But anyway, so to kind of just embrace that and be like, okay, actually, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to dress in a way that I like, and in a way that actually, you know, doesn't make me look like I'm out there for attention. Doesn't, you know, in a beautiful way, in a fashionable way, in a way, you know, I love following fashion trends. I'm 100% do not think that modesty means dressing in a potato sack at all. You know, dressing for the occasion, whatever that means, if you're just, you know, sitting in your room in sweatpants, but if you're going out somewhere, you know, dress presentably. But yeah,
a lot of people were upset at Target for coming out with the whole Little House on the Prairie theme. And look, I don't think those dresses are attractive. I'm just going to say that. I really don't think they are.
See, I know. I have my own theories on that. I think, I mean, I don't know, not bashing Target. I love Target, but I have a feeling that maybe that was a dig at modesty because those dresses were disgusting looking.
Yeah. And honestly, I would rather not look like I'm from Little House on the Prairie. Just personally,
yeah.
But yeah. Also I think that just goes to show the fact that it's like, whether it's an attack on modesty or not, that though you don't need to wear stuff like that to be modest. Like
exactly.
I wear a jean t-shirt and like a flannel, that's modest. Like you could wear a dress and that's modest. And some pants are even more modest than some dresses and skirts, these days.
Yeah. You know, I think I have a little story to share. I think it's funny because so our priest, he's not at our parish anymore. He had moved to a different parish, but I was very close with him. He was my spiritual director. And we had our friend group, the people there, we had so many discussions on modesty, you know, between boys and girls. It was not always pleasant. It kind of made me not want to focus on it at all for a while. So a few weeks actually before the priest left the parish, he told us he was going to give a homily on modesty. And we were like, oh no. But he gave the homily on modesty. And afterwards, one of the boys from the parish came up to me and some of my friends and was like, hey, I just like sincerely said this to us, you know, I really appreciate you guys always dress very modestly. Hmm. And, you know, it wasn't in a condescending way. It wasn't in a passive aggressive way. It wasn't in a, you know, chauvinistic way or anything. It was just saying like, hey, guys actually do appreciate this. You know, it's just courtesy to not have to look at a half naked girl, especially inside of a church.
Oh, 100%. Especially since it's shoved in their faces 24/7 in the mm-hmm. world. I mean, you can't even drive down the street without a billboard for a gentleman's club anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just ridiculous. And so
anyway.
I mean, what are some ways that we can inspire younger generations to dress more modestly, especially the girls? I mean, I know men, there's not too many options for men, but you know,
well, it's probably more for the mind. Too. That's a whole different topic.
But stop taking your shirts off.
Yeah, men can be modest. You know, there's a lot more to modesty than just clothes.
Yeah.
I think what helped me, because like I said before, honestly, for years, I wanted to avoid the topic of modesty. I didn't like it. I didn't like the word. I didn't want anybody to talk to me about it. Over the past few years, you know, there's certain, like, no matter who you are, where you are, like I said before, there's people who influence you. Go through your social medias, go through your Instagram and see who you're following, you know, see who the celebrities are. If, you know, follow people like Lila Rose, follow people like Leah Daro, who's a former America's Next Top Model fashion person, you know, follow people who inspire you to be the best version of yourself, just in general, to be the best, to, you know, it's not just about the clothes you wear. The clothes you wear really reflect who you are inside. So if you are not, you know, if you're having impure thoughts, if you're not, if you don't want to be close to God, you know, you're really not going to show that by what you wear outside. I really think that clothes are a reflection of how we feel inside, and nobody, obviously there are some things that are just immodest in general, and everyone can see that and be like, oh, that's immodest. But I don't think that there's a set guidelines for girls, you know, on what exactly, how many inches this can be, how, like, what length this should go, when you should wear this, when you should wear that. It's about wanting to be modest. And I've noticed for myself, once I started wanting to be modest, first of all, getting dressed was a lot more fun, you know, finding outfits was a lot more fun.
Right.
Second of all, you know, people compliment you on it because it's different. Like, we want to be different. We're told to make a difference in the world. And this is one way we can do it, you know? So I think for young girls, just remember, like, do you want to be like everyone else? You know, do you want to be like everybody else in the world, showing off your body, you know, making crude comments? Or do you want to be different? Because guys see that. And it's not just about the guys. For me, it's not all about the guys right now. But for a lot of young girls, it is, in a way. And that's not necessarily bad. And so, you know, if you want a guy to be polite to you, if you want a guy to take you on nice old fashioned dates, I see people posting about this all the time, like, oh, I wish guys would take me on romantic dates. Well, they're not going to take you to, I don't know, a fancy restaurant if you're dressed like a hooker, you know? So start dressing that way and maybe guys will start treating you better.
No, it's so true. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, and if there's any young girls who like have questions about it or want to know where I find my clothes, not that I have some,
she's got some really cute outfits. I'm just gonna say, if you guys haven't checked out her Instagram, you guys gotta.
But yeah, definitely feel free to message me and I can let you know, because you can find, it's honestly, for years I thought, I was like, there's just no modest clothes, but I just wasn't trying. I just didn't care. It's very honestly easy to find modest clothes if you just look in the right places, you know.
I find most of mine thrifting, so I just
thrift. Yeah, that's a good thing. Yeah, actually Shein has a ton of modest stuff. It has a ton of not modest stuff, but it has a lot of modest clothing for not that expensive. One of the stores, I love Windsor. They have a lot of expensive stuff, but if you go on the sale rack, it's better. Tiger Lily, Old Navy. Not everyone likes Old Navy. There's a bunch of other stores I can't think of.
No, it's so true. And so basically when we respect ourselves and our bodies, other people will respect us and our bodies. And I think part of that also comes from setting boundaries with people, mm-hmm. and being able to actually see ourselves as a child of God, you know, and
that's exactly true. That's where it comes from. I'm telling you right now, if you don't care about your body, if you don't care about yourself,
it's going to show.
You are not going to be modest. Like, it's just, when I was the most insecure about my body, was when I was the most immodest.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely think it's a correlation, you know. You think, oh, like, I'm so ugly, I need to show off more, or like, oh, I need to, you know, it's just,
my body's all I have, you know.
It's so hard, because I think back to my teenage years and like what I wore literally consumed me. Like I thought about it 24/7. Is this the right outfit? Is this like, not is this appropriate to wear, but like, is this look going to look good on me, you know?
Right. Kind of like obsession.
Yeah. And so I think about like all the younger girls out there, like if you guys ever need any help, definitely feel free to contact me because I love talking about it now that I'm kind of in, not in a perfect place, but in a better place.
Yeah.
You know, with
100%
all this. And there's a lot of people, there's a lot of women, I think, who are seeing this and who are starting to embrace it. And I think that's really good. I've seen that a lot. Honestly, the past year, a lot of people maybe being more outspoken about it is what I've seen.
That's a good point. Yeah. And I think a lot of old trends are coming back, like more modest mm-hmm. trends. And it's interesting because are you on TikTok, Savannah?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if you've seen that trend that's been going around a few months ago, where basically they're doing this, I stopped dressing for the male gaze.
I haven't seen that one. Yeah. I have to look that up.
Yeah. And basically it's this, these women who dress super immodestly, basically half naked on their Instagrams. And then they're like, I stopped dressing for the male gaze. And suddenly they're completely clothed. They're modest. They're cute.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. I need to look at that.
Yeah. But isn't that so funny how we,
it's so interesting.
Yeah. Isn't it funny how the female brain works? And then they're like, oh, well, I stopped dressing for the male gaze, but yeah, but you start dressing for yourself and you start respecting yourself and you saw like,
oh, that is so interesting. I need to look into that. And they're also admitting that they were dressing for the male gaze. Like,
yes,
probably huge feminists
are like, super okay, humbling, probably
for the male gaze.
Right.
Very interesting. I need to look into that. I haven't seen that. Yeah. I am on TikTok, but I'm not on it a ton and I don't see all the trends.
Honestly, that's probably a good idea. TikTok's not the best place, but yeah, I think overall, it's just crazy. And women, we have a gift and we're able to share that gift with other women and men. But it's when it becomes disordered is when we become disordered and it's no longer for God and, you know, to help others. Yeah. It's kind of,
yeah. And I would just encourage young women, you know, it's always a good thing to be outspoken about this. You know, if people mm-hmm. are like, hey, why, like, I don't know. You know, people used to ask me like, why do you, or they still do. They're like, why do you dress so fancy sometimes? Cause,
but your outfits like dressing, are so cute.
Oh, thanks. I like dressing up, you know, because it gives me more confidence. I see that people respect me more and it just, you know, it's just good overall for me. It's not for everyone, but people are like, why do you always dress like that? And I'm like, well, because like I've seen the results, like, regardless of whether or not it should be a thing, I think it shows you respect yourself when you dress presentably, when you don't have you know, your hair in a frizzy mess in your work, in your office. Well, it depends on where you work, but
true
for me, when I don't have, you know, when I come into my office sometimes, if you know, if I just got home from a trip or if I something, and if I have like minimal makeup on, my hair's a frizzy mess, maybe I'm not dressed up, I feel like, you know, I feel less productive. I feel like I don't like respect myself as much, you know, it's just,
right.
It's a thing. I think a lot more for women than men, honestly. It's about respecting yourself. My mom actually taught me, she was super, such a stickler on this, about when we were younger, you know, every time when we got out of bed, we got dressed. We didn't stay in pajamas all day. Now, sometimes I stay in pajamas. Big COVID hit us all. We work from home. We wear that nice shirt. This is not a nice shirt, but we typically wear a nice shirt and then pajama pants. But regardless,
we all felt it.
we all had something happen to
me. Yeah.
But I still think it's important to respect yourself, you know, respect yourself in everything. But in the way you dress, it's not talked about enough.
I completely agree. And you'll have to take me shopping sometimes because I still struggle with it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, sometimes you do see something and you're like, oh, that is really cute.
Right.
But honestly, but also though, I feel like a lot of cute things can be made to be modest. It's not like you just like, you know, sometimes it's depicted as it's just this devastating thing. Oh, I have to dress modestly. Oh no, I have to go find long maxi skirt and a big hoodie and wear it all day. That's not modesty. Honestly, I would say that's honestly not modest. It's not respecting your body either. there's a quote from someone. Ooh, I gotta find it real quick. I forget. It says, it's something like, Jet, your clothes should be loose enough to show that you're a woman. But do you know what I'm talking about,
Anna? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's that quote? I love that quote.
Your clothes should be tight enough to show that you're a woman, but loose enough that you're a lady.
Yes. That's from, I forget her name.
Yeah, I forget her name too, but look it up.
But yeah, it's a great quote. Live by it.
I love it. Well, thank you so much, Savannah. And where can my followers find you?
Thank you so much. And you can find me on Instagram, Savannah_Dudzik. That's SAVANNAH_DUDZIK. And then I also have a YouTube channel. I believe it's just my name. And then maybe Amber will link other stuff in the comments because that's all I can think about right now.
Yeah, I got you. No problem. Cool. Well, thank you so much for talking about this topic.
Thank you so much, Amber. This was fun.
Of course. And I hope this helped any girls and guys out there with the femininity, you know, side of the world, especially these days. And yeah, I'll talk to you guys in the next podcast. Bye. Do you have questions or comments about today's episode? Email me at thereligioushippie@gmail.com or leave a voice message at anchor.fm/thereligioushippie. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Please be sure to rate and review this episode. This podcast is produced by Todd Fisher and distributed by Metacortex Publishing. This podcast is copyright. Any previously trademarked or copyright content is used by permission. Information and opinions stated in this podcast should not be construed as medical advice. Please be sure to visit the official website for the International Association of Metatomics at metatomics.org or find us on social media for other unique content.